Welcome to Cerro Talk Tech Chat. This is Michael Loff, and this is April 9th, 2009. And we're going to do a slightly different topic, but yes, it does relate to technology. We're going to talk about how people are using technology and specific technologies that people are using to pursue their spiritual faiths and their studies. And this is open to all belief systems. Couple things on the tech news front I want to mention real quickly before we get started. One, we talked last week about the introduction of rememberradio.com, a slight change in the pricing structure, which is, I think you're going to like, actually. Rememberradio.com is a site for buying old-time radio. And what you can do is you can buy individual shows, and you can choose up to 10 shows and pay 99 cents. That's right, 99 cents for 10 specific old-time radio shows that you may be interested in. Or you can buy a whole CD of shows for just $2.99, and some of them have up to like 90 episodes. Once you purchase them, you have up to 30 days to download them to your computer. So if you like old-time radio, that's definitely a site to check out, rememberradio.com. Found another application. It's a piece of software today that you may be interested in. It's called Radio Sure, and the way it's written is Radio Sure. It has over 12,000 radio stations, and some of the buttons themselves aren't accessible or not labeled, but you can easily use the player. Just remember to right-click, and you can do a lot of things with it. Again, 12,000 stations, just put something in the search box to reduce the amount of results for you. Normally, they're listed alphabetically, and it's got an equalizer. You have the ability to record what you're listening to. It has a lot of radio stations, and of course, you can add your own if you like. But an awesome piece of software if you're a radio buff or enthusiast. It's not quite as accurate as, say, what you'll find on SAMNET, Cerro Tech, our content area, or even BillSparks.org. But it's pretty close, and I would say on an international front, they probably are ahead of us, so we're certainly looking through it and finding some new gems to add to SAMNET as well. And finally, one thing on the technology side, this is a big development, and I want to mention this and get people involved in it because it is pretty big. This goes back to, you know, we started the petition for the Kindle to make it accessible, and it looks like Amazon is actually going to do that and make the new Kindle 2 accessible at some point. So despite whomever makes or stakes claim to that, it was started, at least, by Cerro Tech, and certainly other entities got involved with it. But a bigger issue that as many as 28 organizations are involved with, including the NFB, the National Federation of the Blind, what happened afterward, where the Authors Guild went back to Amazon and said, yeah, you may have the capability to have text-to-speech, but, you know, we don't like that. So Amazon said, okay, well, we'll give the authors or the publishers the right to disable it on certain books that they want to. Now, a lot of people certainly upset about this, feeling it's, worried about concerns of piracy. And, of course, a lot of people say, well, it's no big deal because who's going to want to listen to synthetic speech if they can actually read the material? But what came out was that someone at the Authors Guild actually said more than that, that it was an issue they'd like to charge extra for the honor and privilege to be able to have text to speech. So thousands of people are, what I guess you could say, enraged, and rightfully so about this. And there was a big protest in New York 2 days ago on the 7th in front of the offices of the Authors Guild in New York. There will be future protests planned. I know one out in Los Angeles, California. There's a petition that you can find in the Socializer, and it's also linked to at cerrotalk.com. We encourage you, if you really want to defend the rights of people to read electronic books as soon as they are published, and stand up to the Authors Guild and say, we want equal access, we shouldn't have to pay more because we're already disabled and have 70% unemployment. Why should we be paying more than everyone else? We just want an equal shot. Blind folks per capita are avid readers and certainly will pay for materials, but certainly should not have to pay more. So check that out if you're interested. They're going for a goal of 10,000, and I think they can do it. And I think anyone interested and a fan of reading should participate in that. But tonight's discussion, we are talking about online resources, what we call e-faith, resources for pursuing your religious pursuits, your study, and just to learn more about your faith. We will provide links to all of these on the website. One site that came up over and over again was BibleGateway.com.
Khouse.org, that's the letter K with the word house.org all together. And that's Dr. Chuck Missler's website where he vends a lot of audio and video of his messages and Bible commentaries, virtually the entire Old and New Testament. A lot of technical background in terms of origins and the eschatological studies, many different topical things. And then they're affiliated with Blue Letter Bible. I believe it's blueletterbible.org. Basically, where you can branch out and search the scripture in different languages and all different formats, and both in audio and video.
MikeCalvo.com is a website that I started a while back. I do local Bible studies here in Orlando and have recorded them, and I'm actually expanding that soon into a weekly Bible study that will be taking place on Thursday nights that will just be for the community at large that anybody can participate in. It has nothing to do really with Serotech. It's what I do on my off time, if there is such a thing. But I've also enjoyed the K-House stuff and the Blue Letter Bible, and also Calvary Chapel has quite a few different resources that I like to listen to. I like to listen to Calvary Chapel out of Costa Mesa, of course, and then CSN International, which is Calvary Chapel's radio station that has a lot of the Calvary Chapel different pastors on there, and Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale from down here in Florida. Great resources. Then there's oneplace.com, which is every preacher you'd ever want to know, and then some. All their different Bible broadcasts, and we have a lot of those on the network here. Plus, you can just go straight to oneplace.com and check them out as well.
What about sermonaudio.com? I understand they have thousands of audio files there. Are you familiar with that? Have you used that one?
I have, and actually Sermon Audio is awesome too, because it's available on a lot of these radios, the portable radios that, you know, the 802.11 net radios. You can check those out there as well, and they're available on demand and in real time and that kind of thing.
Yeah, some other websites that people had mentioned to me, some sites mentioned here were rbc.org, of course the Optasia, O-P-T-A-S-I-A, ministry.org, BrailleMinistry.org, and I got an email about something called the Ben Watson Ministries, and that's at www.slmseminars.com, and that SLM, I guess, stands for Source of Light Ministries. What great resources are you finding there?
That one, in particular, is a weekly Bible study on Tuesday. We have interaction. They have the Bible studies, and then they give us, you know, we give them feedback as well, or ask questions or whatever. And so I do go to that one every week. And also concerning this rbc.org, they not only have their Daily Bread devotional on the website, but it's also available in two other sources for people that might not have computers, and they have it. It's available in Braille, and it's also available on tape, not directly at rbc.org. It's at two different addresses.
Right along those same lines, another great resource for Bibles and study materials is Aurora Ministries. It's a great location. If you're blind, you can receive a free Bible on tape, and they also have it in DAISY format, and you can just contact them, and Aurora will send you a free Bible, and I'm sure you can find that in the show notes. But it's a great resource, and I'm very familiar with the ministry. They're usually at a lot of these shows, especially at the summer conventions and that kind of thing. So Aurora Ministries is a great place to get your word on, you know. One I like to use, Michael, a lot also is eSword. eSword has kind of a daily devotional. It is various Bible translations and just kind of a hodgepodge of just different types of Bible studies and for different evangelical kind of views on different things. There are a lot of resources out there, and to me it's intriguing, of course, as blind folks, where we may not be able to get out to our local place of worship, regardless of what our beliefs are, whether we're of the Judeo-Christian belief or we're Jewish or Muslim or whatever. There are so many different resources available out there. I'm really intrigued continuously about how religion actually is a big part of people's online experience.
Another one is Bridge Christian Education for the Blind in Texas. It has Braille and large print and tapes. It has Southern Baptist Sunday school lessons, but it also has, the main reason I brought it up, it has a Braille or large print hymn book that we use at Bible conference. It's the Evangelical Hymn Book.
Yeah, I hear Tom in the room. What resources would you like to share this evening, sir?
System access played a real important part. I work with our middle school youth. We have them all sign in by computer, and they were using a MacBook Pro, you know, with Windows added, and the student ministry secretary had to step away for an emergency situation, and I plugged in my U3 and signed in kids right there on the spot. Never seen the database before in my life, but that was quite a neat experience to be able to use system access in our community of faith that way. And the kids were kind of intrigued by it too.
You know, it's important to mention, because I have gotten emails from time to time from Serotech users that are of different beliefs and things of that nature. A lot of us on the network are Christians or Protestants or Catholics. So, of course, we tend to give that kind of Judeo-Christian worldview. Serotech and Samnet is not a Christian community nor a Christian company. We do our very best, of course, to provide access to what our users ask for. And I feel kind of bad sometimes because I get emails saying, hey, you know, well, what about the Torah? What about, you know, the Quran? And, you know, I'm not one of those that believes that every Muslim is out there, you know, looking to drive planes into large buildings and, you know, and create jihad on every person who doesn't agree with their belief. I believe that every religious organization or denomination or belief system has to stand on its own two feet, if you will. And if you or I or anyone really try and say, well, my way is the only way, and if you don't like it, well, I'm just not going to give availability to that. I'm an unapologetic Christian. I do believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior, and has made a huge change in my life personally. And that has been a revelation that took me a number of years to come to and has truly worked for me. However, I do understand that everybody has their own belief structure. So I just want, I guess, for people to hear it from the horse's mouth, that while I practice Christianity, a lot of the folks here at Serotech are Christians, and we don't discourage at Serotech for us to share our beliefs. This is a community atmosphere. So in a community, you're going to find all kinds of different belief structures. But I would never want to be classified as strictly this or strictly that. This is not the Mike Calvo community or the, you know, or the Jesus Christ community. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, and I hope that those who are looking for a spiritual answer find that he can be the Lord of theirs. However, that is not up to me to shove down anyone's throat and say this is the only way that you can believe. I can't hold a gun to anybody's head, and I find it very offensive for anybody that tries to do that. I do invite anybody who hears this this podcast at any time that has different resources, regardless of what they are religiously, to submit them to our content group, and they will be put up on the network with no form of bias one way or the other. We refuse to do that. Our personal beliefs, we do very little in the way of trying to push those upon anybody unless asked on a personal basis. But corporately, we will give an equal voice to any religious belief out there. I believe that that's extremely important with net neutrality and our First Amendment rights here in the United States and things of that nature. So I would just never want anyone to believe that Serotech is a quote-unquote Christian organization in the churchy sense of the word. Again, that a lot of us practice this particular form of belief. It just happens to be a personal choice. It doesn't play a role in anybody getting a job here. It doesn't play a role in any of that, in any content here. But I do certainly invite people to be a part of this community and interact and share your beliefs. I don't think that anybody, I think we all have a lot to learn from each other just as people.
Now, I'm curious, we were talking about different websites. I noticed some of the radio shows that I've listened to, they tend to report on current news events and kind of talk about how it ties into various scriptures. Are there websites that kind of do that, where you can kind of find out the latest news events and get that perspective, or maybe how it's addressed?
I can refer to the, of course, the Christian worldview and say, for example, I check into things like Prophecy Watch, and those that that watch my tweets and are following me on Twitter and Facebook know that I'm a big advocate of PrisonPlanet.tv, which is a guy named Alex Jones, who is considered to be pretty radical. Just the current worldview with respect to biblical prophecy and things of that nature. Again, I know that other religious groups have their own religious beliefs and views of you know, what's going on in the world and how it plays into what the Quran and other things, religious documents, in quotes, state that is happening in the world. And Prophecy Watch, PrisonPlanet.tv, these tend to be pretty radical, and I tell you to approach them with an open mind and understand that everything that you read on the internet is not necessarily true. But you know, I will say the one thing about a lot of this stuff: just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that they're not out to get you. Just keep that in mind when you read some of the stuff on these websites, these quote-unquote conspiracy theorist websites, I guess, is when you really go down the rabbit hole, as I like to tell people.
Curious about this whole concept of Easter, because I know you said you like to refer to it as Resurrection Day. It fluctuates on a yearly basis, and trying to understand the rules of how that works. But I don't know, Mike, if you want to comment on the background of Easter, or why you particularly prefer not to use that word.
Well, Easter is one of these holidays. You know, remember that Christianity as a whole is probably about 2,000 years old, of course, when Jesus came and died and rose on the third day. And that is primarily what Resurrection Day is about. When the Roman Empire was Christianized through Constantine shortly a while after Jesus died, a lot of pagan religions were brought in, and one of those was the worship of Ishtar, or Ashtaroth, which was the goddess of fertility. And she was depicted as a bunny rabbit walking on water, walking with a basket with eggs. And if you look at fertility and you start looking at how that relates, you know, and how it relates to our modern tradition of the Easter bunny and the eggs and all that stuff, you can see all the fingerprints of, you know, fertility. And I prefer to celebrate that time as the time that my Lord and Savior gave his life for me and for others who believe, and for even those who don't believe, and died and rose on the third day. And while I certainly don't want to turn this into a preaching, that is what Resurrection Day is about. It's the same thing, kind of, I guess, as I feel about other pagan holidays like Christmas and things like that that have been improperly labeled and marketed to the public as this is what their real roots are. So there really is no mention of Easter, nor is there a mention of a Resurrection Day celebration in the Bible whatsoever. We participate in it, of course. I mean, hey, any day to be able to talk about the Lord and what he did for us and what he did for the world is a great opportunity. So I, of course, like to share that with anybody who wants to know. But the true origins of Easter, or Ishtar, as the date is that Jesus actually died and rose again during the Passover, which is, of course, a Jewish holiday. So I do believe that the actual label of the holiday has been misplaced or mislabeled.
I'm curious why we have as many as 300 different religions throughout the world. I mean, how did that come to be? Is that all been in the last 2,000 years, or does some predate that? Or I'm curious any comments anyone has.
One reason is you know, we have free will. One of the main things about Jesus is he's the only person that can say, you know, for a fact that actually died and you know, conquered death and rose again. Nobody else can say that.
That is true, but a lot of other religions would dispute that, of course. There really has not been any proof of that yet. Now, there is definite historical proof that there was a guy named Jesus, and he did make a great impact on the world around him at the time. Now, we as believers believe by faith that these things took place, and of course, we believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. So, you know, the Bible isn't kind of a cafeteria thing where you can take some of this and you can spit some of that out and not take that. It's one of those things where I believe, as any religious document, that you take it in whole or you don't take it at all. So, of course, as believers, we believe that. Actually, Michael, to correct you a little bit, there are actually over 1,500 different denominations, all Protestant, by the way, that, you know, that just talk about Jesus. When you start talking about world religions, when you talk about Buddhism and Hinduism and, you know, and all of these different, the Wiccans and all of the different types of the nature worshipers and all of these, there are many, many, many religions, but just in Christianity, there's a division of over 1,500 different denominations. And I think that a big part of that has to do with the way that man has interpreted the Bible versus what some of us believe. It's man's mental interpretation versus revelation by the Holy Spirit, which the Bible says that we have need that no man teach us anything, but the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And that in itself has actually been the product of many wars and many disputes and many very heated debates amongst Protestants and amongst Catholics and other denominational groups. And of course, it's a very zealous type of thing. I mean, we believe what we believe. I have a great deal of trouble defending the faith. I don't believe that truth needs to defend itself. I believe that truth is not relative. I believe that truth stands on its own. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, if something is real and something is true, and it shines as truth, it will always shine through as the truth. And for me, that has been Christianity. It has worked for me for over 14 years. And that is why I'm a card-carrying, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian. What does that mean? Well, you know, that depends on who you ask, and that's why we have so many different denominations.
One of the things that happens is that some people say you can get the Bible to say or to believe what anything you want it to say if you take the verses out of their context. That's why it's so important to leave them in the context and let the Bible explain itself.
That's exactly it. It's really a matter of personal revelation and contemplation and meditation and study. Religion and spirituality is a very personal thing. I believe that anybody that just blindly, no pun intended, goes into a belief system without researching it, without understanding. I mean, I tell people, listen, if what I believe about salvation is true, then it is the most important decision I will ever make in my life. And if ultimately it proves not to be anything and not to do anything for me after I die, you know what? At least I lived a better life. At least I was able to impact people and share love with people that I feel, at least from this point in my life, I don't have of my own fruition that comes to me from other places.
Speaking of resources, I use a resource called audiobible.com.
Great resource.
Okay, we'll add that to the list here. And I want to acknowledge Jedi, who said hello. We were talking, of course, about eFaith and your resources that you use, whether it be texts or audio or Braille or other things to pursue your personal beliefs. Are there any resources you would like to share?
I suddenly feel like the odd one out because I'm not sure if I'm the only non-Christian in the room.
That doesn't really matter, Jedi. I mean, the whole point here is everybody has faith, and it certainly is not a popularity contest. Don't ever feel on this network or amongst anybody that you need to feel like the odd man out. That's just not the case. You know, if it works for you, it works for you.
Exactly. That's part of why we're doing a discussion to share diversity of views. You know, as long as your beliefs help you to be a better person, again, as I said in the post, to help you find peace with yourself and peace with the world and help you to be productive and fulfilled as a person, then, you know, that's what's, you know, effective for you. Didn't mean to put you on the spot or anything. I just wonder if you have some resources. If you do have slightly different beliefs than maybe many people, that you're certainly welcome to share those.
Definitely, you know, I make use of a lot of the same kinds of resources that many of you use. Audio information, Braille, text, But, you know, I have an N82, Nokia N82, and I also have a Victor Stream, and I often put guided meditation podcasts and things of that nature on my N82 to carry with me or on my Stream to carry with me. Because, you know, no matter what your faith is, sometimes guided meditation is a really useful way to increase your power of motivation and personal visualization, that kind of thing, and realize your potential in a variety of different ways. So those are definitely useful, and really you can Google meditation and relaxation podcasts, and I like to just Google guided meditation if you an MP3 or whatever format you want, and usually you can get some results, some of which are free, some of which aren't. I have been utilizing Bookshare a lot, not just for specific material from my personal belief system, but just in general. A lot of self-improvement type literature is available on Bookshare these days, and so I've been collecting a lot of that kind of thing. And the interesting thing is most of the self-help type stuff I've seen comes less from the psychology field and more from the fields of spirituality and religion. And I definitely agree with you, Mike, about the religious cafeteria thing that people have become rather accustomed to. But I definitely believe that there are something to be said for sure for taking value from what other people have to say about different things. There's an author who has something powerful to offer me, and that author happens to be Christian. I'm certainly not opposed to listening to what she or he has to say. And so I've been picking up a lot of different sorts of things.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. I mean, there are times in my life where, for example, as a Christian, I mean, I'm pretty zealous about my beliefs with respect to myself. And if somebody asks me, well, why do you believe this? And I tell them, and they say, well, but why do you believe that? And I'll tell them, and well, but you're this way and you're that way and you're dogmatic or whatever. No, I'm what I call convicted. That doesn't mean, you know, I'm by nature kind of a salesman. So I tend to be very zealous about everything from system access to what I'm wearing today to the kind of electronics I use to whatever, to the AT I use. I mean, it is just my nature. However, I would agree. I think that a majority of the religious systems, I have yet to see a religious system out there, even to the degree of nature worship and things like that, people that are at one with nature and believe in the worship of various things on the planet. They're all a matter of finding inner peace, of finding that Zen spot in yourself and that peaceful area of yourself. I've talked to many Muslims, and I've been quite ashamed sometimes of listening to the way that some of us Christians portray people of the Muslim faith, and then hearing the way that the Muslims speak about Jesus Christ and with the respect that they speak of him. And it puts me to shame sometimes to hear the way that we have bashed other people and their belief systems instead of just saying, you know, that's what you believe. That's cool. This is what I believe. And I believe that there's room on earth for both of us. I am diametrically opposed to a Christian government, as I am opposed to a Muslim government or a Jewish government or whatever. I think that the day we use a religious belief to guide our laws is a problem. I think that morality is something that should be taught at the home by the parent, and it should never be left to legislation.
Nature religions, just like with any religion that has a sort of idolatry aspect to it, actually believes that the older religions that had the idols of Isis or various other gods, for them, actually, it's kind of interesting. They weren't actually worshiping the idol. The idol was kind of a physical way of bridging the gap between humans and the divine. And that's kind of the same for nature worship, too. A lot of people in nature worship religions actually see the natural world around us as a manifestation of God. So when they worship various items in nature, they are, in fact, worshiping God. They're just accessing God in a different way. and you know, becomes manifest that way. So it's kind of interesting that you mention it. And for my personal experience with spirituality, it's kind of a hybrid of nature worship, if you want to call it that, and what you could call classical Western forms of worship. You know, there are some hybridizations that go on there. And it's kind of interesting because I use incense and not exactly gemstones per se, but I definitely believe that they can be helpful as reminders to guide our thinking in kind of a similar way that the Bible is. It's, you know, it's a starting point, but it's certainly not the central focus of the actual spiritual practice. I don't know if that's making any sense, but and so in a sort of way, though it's not technology in the way that we ordinarily think of technology, I do sort of think of things like incense and candles and the physical aspects of the church setting or the worship setting as a sort of technology to help us bridge the gap between the mundane and the divine. Because the fact of the matter is, sometimes our powers of concentration are such that we can indeed commune with the divine without the use of what you could call religious technologies or spiritual technologies. But, you know, as human beings, our minds get so cluttered with everything else these days that our stress level can certainly shut that piece of us off to the point where it is useful to, you know, light a candle or put on some incense or, you know, take hold of a rock and meditate, you know, while holding the rock, that kind of thing. And so in a way, I see those sorts of objects as spiritual technologies. Another form of spiritual technology that I use, part of my faith includes divination, which is the ability to read signs and symbols and make sense of them as a sort of communication method between us and the universe. At large, or us and God, or however you want to look at that. And divination has been around for ages, and every spiritual tradition has a form of mysticism or divination to it. You know, we're talking about everything from dowsing rods to tarot cards to rune stones to coin, you know, coin oracles to all that kind of thing. And though it's not ordinarily acceptable in a classic Western tradition as we understand it in the United States, it certainly, you know, any of these items definitely help to bridge that spiritual gap for many people who are taking part in the non-dominant forms of religion in the U.S. Think of those sorts of objects as spiritual technologies. And some of those objects, unfortunately, are less accessible than others. As far as blindness is concerned, tarot cards can be brailled. But if you do decide to utilize tarot cards, for example, it's important to know that each deck is different. And the symbols used in each deck to convey different meanings, the reader has to know what the artist intended. And so when you get a deck, it's important to read up on that deck. Braille notes that kind of tell you what the card is, certainly, but know, you know, memorize the symbols on the card because those are important. And it does vary from deck to deck.
Now, what about the concept of online fellowship? I mean, it used to be said, well, you know, this is great for the blind. You know, they can listen to these sermons online or you can listen to services on the radio if you can't physically travel. But they say it's no replacement. You need that fellowship. You need that interaction. You need to shake hands and feel the whole brotherly love. But certainly, I mean, the technologies are online. You can, I know this one that we talked about, the SLM seminars, where you're actually installing a plug-in so that you're actually having an interactive chat and asking questions and throwing out comments. And even SAMNet has the fellowship, which again leads toward Christian, but where people share their prayer concerns or literally talk to each other and have a different form of fellowship. I'm curious if any of you pursue that, or do you think it's comparable, or it should be in addition to, and that you still need to attend some local house of worship, and you really are at a disadvantage if you don't get that kind of interaction?
Terry?
Go ahead, Terry.
I've always found it difficult after a couple of years being in a fellowship of not being able to get transportation eventually because it ended up being more of a burden. And then there goes a sense of values that people start, sort of an interaction thing. And that has always been a problem whenever I attended. I like to attend physically, but overall it's been a problem for me. And I was wondering how others felt about that. Did they have similar experiences?
Tom? Mike.
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead, Tom.
I think all these technologies are tremendous. However, I do think that they are additions to genuine, real fellowship. There's in any societal interaction, there's strength in numbers. And if you're looking at what it means in terms of the Christian community, the Bible does very, very specifically talk about don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because the apostle recognized that there is strength in numbers, and there's strength in that bond of fellowship. It's just not the same as watching your favorite television evangelist or going online. Those are great. They're great additions, but they are the means to the end, not the end to the means.
I would have to go a little bit against that in saying that I kind of understand where Terry's at with the transportation issues, and also sometimes where when we as blind folks enter a place of worship, especially the more charismatic places of worship, we tend to be kind of the freak show. We tend to be kind of, oh, okay, well, they're going to make an example of me. I'm going to be looked at as today's miracle of the week, or why are you persecuted, or why are you the way you are? And I think that sometimes the very thing that drives blind folks away from attending a local house of worship is that uncomfort or that lack of comfort with going into a place of worship. And unlike a sighted person, where they can kind of go into a church and kind of sit in the back row for a while until they get the vibe, you know, the moment we walk in, we're noticed. So it does create some sociological challenges for those of us who tend to be a little shyer maybe than others. So while the scripture does talk about the assembly of the saints and that kind of thing, I wouldn't want to discredit the value of online meetings. And it's kind of like Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, get help somewhere. And definitely, I would never want anyone to say, well, you know, if it's either a church or nothing. I think that online congregations, online fellowship does have its place, and really does give people a feeling and a sense of fulfillment when they can get together with like-minded and related folks that worship the same way, where their difference, for example, as a blind person, isn't as noticeable in a forum like this, where we can meet as folks that share the same faith, the same beliefs, and it's not a matter of, you know, are you fat, are you skinny, are you blind, are you not, are you in a wheelchair, do you have some sort of a disfigurement?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, especially with salvation-oriented religions, it's very challenging, because the healing of the blind, interesting enough, has always been, since the early Christian era particularly, kind of like an example, perhaps, or a direct metaphor or illustration of the power of salvation itself. You know, the radical inversion from death into life, or sin into salvation. Blindness to sight was kind of the common metaphor for Christians, particularly since the early Christian era, and even dating as far back as classic antiquity. Back to the Greco-Roman period. But, you know, the one thing I definitely do want to say about congregating with other people, regardless of the faith, is it's challenging not to have a congregation. That's one of the really huge challenges I face, being in a religious minority, is the fact that there aren't too many people, and we're really spread out. And if it's one thing that I've noticed, it's that I feel stronger in my belief when I have congregated with other people. Whereas, you know, in those periods when I go through doubt, and, you know, honestly, who doesn't? It's hard to shake the feeling that, you know, because I am a minority and I don't have as many people to congregate with, it's hard to handle that doubt effectively.
I'm reminded of reading the autobiography of Ronnie Millsap, who talked about that, who, as a kid,
He was shamed because they made it their goal to heal his vision. And when it didn't happen, they blamed him that he was not a believer. That's why it didn't work. And the other thing I would add to that whole thing about congregation, that's all great. But what happens when the church is few? There's a lot of fights now to increase membership, or let's get rid of traditional hymns and make it more modern and bring in the young folks. And everybody that I know that's involved at any level with church is usually there's some infighting, and I sense a lot of hostility, and I could see how people get driven away. And of course, I'm sure it's a test of their beliefs, you know, when the church itself is feuding or they feel they've been shunned by the church and you have that division. I say right on, you know, I think this is a great addendum.
It's been said before that church would be perfect if there weren't people involved. I recently did a study. I was recently in Puerto Rico on a mission trip, and one of the things that I talked about, I teach Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Interestingly enough, what God has laid on my heart to go out to a lot of churches and talk about, I take my guide dog and I demonstrate his harness and the control that the harness puts on him, and how we as people are controlled by the harnesses of society and the beliefs of societies and the yoke that society puts on us. And I would submit that people have misinterpreted blindness and spirituality, or at least with respect to the Bible. A lot of the blind people that Jesus quote-unquote healed in the Bible that were born blind. You can't miss what you've never had. My dog could talk. He could probably tell me, dude, you have no idea how wonderful it is to be able to run on four legs. And I just can't relate to him. But if everybody around me ran on four legs and I only had two, and someone said, man, what would you want to be able to fit in with everybody else? I'd say, naturally, I want four legs. And I think that that's what happened with a lot of the blind folks in the scripture that were used as examples in the scripture. I don't believe that it's so much that they were afflicted by their position. I believe it's the way that people understood them and the way that people interpreted their blindness and what it meant. You know, sometimes, I mean, it's great to put your shoes on my feet and try and take a walk in them from time to time. But I think it's more intriguing to me as an individual to ask you what those shoes feel like, to get to know what those shoes feel like, instead of kind of stereotyping you and putting you in a box. So before we kind of go with the crowd and say, well, you know, Jesus healed blindness because it was an affliction, I would remind folks that in Exodus 4:11, God himself takes responsibility and says, is it not I that make the blind not see and the deaf not hear? Is it not I, the Lord, that does these things? Which means that God takes responsibility. And if all things that God does work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, which is all of mankind, God created all of us, regardless of what your religious beliefs are. God created you if you believe in God at all. And he created you for a purpose. And if you are blind, if you're fat, if you're skinny, if you look different than everybody else, then God is going to use that for a purpose. And I believe that, unfortunately, you know, one of the biggest things that we as humans strive for is acceptance. And if we're a little different than everybody else, you know, and if somebody else, you know, looks at us, I mean, I know, for example, I know people who weigh 400 pounds, and I couldn't weigh 400 pounds. Okay, I look at these people and they are absolutely thrilled weighing 400 pounds. They love their lives. I know people who weigh 80 pounds and they're absolutely, and I couldn't weigh 80 pounds either. I couldn't be skinny as a rail either. But the fact is that it's being excited about where you are, being realizing and accepting where you're at and being comfortable where you are. And I think that a lot of the scriptural, just a lot of the things that were discussed, that were covered in scripture about Jesus healing blind people, weren't so much because it was an affliction because it was a punishment from God, or because it was a sickness, but because these were the odd man out. They were poor Jedi when she came in. She said, well, I feel like the odd man out because I'm the only non-Christian here. Can you imagine if we'd have all turned on her and said, well, you know, you're just this and you're just that and you're just the other? No, you know, it works for her. and we love her. We accept her who she is, and that doesn't make her less of a person in my eyes as a human being. And I think that that's the big misinterpretation of blindness in the scripture. I think that people have interpreted it as a sickness, as a punishment from God, when Jesus himself, again in John 9:1-3, said that this man was made blind so that God could be made manifest in his life and the glory of God. So, you know, whenever a Christian or any other religious denomination tries to come to you as a blind person and say, you know, well, are you praying for your healing? Say, well, who says I'm sick? I'm excited the way I am. I think that God has done wonderful things with me in my current condition and will continue to do wonderful things. So stand up and be happy in who you are. Accept who you are and say, you know, God, you made me this way. I don't understand maybe 100% of it because I'm different than other folks. But you know what? To you be the glory. You made me this way. Show me what your purpose is. And that's really how at least I try to live my life and the revelation I've gotten as to blind folks with respect to, you know, to what God's plan is for us.
My name is Lauren, by the way, and I had the opportunity to go to a Liberian church in the city of Portland. And they're very, you'd think, because the ones that I've known are very, you know, non-judgmental, but to go to a church with them and to hear them just browbeat their fellow Africans who aren't Christians, I don't know. I just kind of found that a bit odd as far as, because you were talking earlier about the, you know, the infighting, all the stuff that goes on in churches.
It's denominationalism.
BrailleBibles.org also is one of the places where you not only can get Braille Bibles, but you can also get that little handheld Bible that doesn't have the computer voice like the Braille Bible Courier does. It's less expensive there. I only paid $20 at our Bible conference last year at the workshop. I mean, at the exhibit room. But anyway, that was BrailleBiblesInternational.org.
The consumer groups, I don't know if the council does this, but I know in the NFB, at national conventions, they have devotional services for the major religious groups, you know, for federationists and the different religious groups. And I know that there is a division called the NFB and Communities of Faith, which presumably is kind of another resource that different kinds of blind people can talk about some of these issues of accessing religious material or even just accessing the congregation and dealing with some of these issues of prejudice in the congregation.
Well, on that note, I think we'll call wraps on a great conversation. Throw in my two cents that a couple things to think about. Remember, as bad as we may feel at times when we want to have a pity party, that as bad as we may feel life is, that believe me, blindness, there are far worse afflictions, and we need to give thanks that we can walk and talk and read and think and function. And believe me, there's many people with circumstances far worse, if that helps you to feel better, keep things in grasp, what have you. But the point of the conversation was to outline that there are many resources to pursue your studies and your interests, and we will post all the items that have been mentioned, and just encourage people to explore and keep an open mind. I think it's when we close our mind, that's when we develop a lot of stress and anxiety and a lot of problems. We need to remember that just because someone is different from us, that doesn't mean they're wrong. We're not the judges or the jury. But anyway, I thank all of you for your great comments and resources and wisdom and insights this evening. This says been Serotalk Tech Chat, and this is Michael Loff, and we invite you to join us on the 16th. For another interesting topic, as all of them are. So until then, let's stay connected and stay directed.